Hello and welcome to episode 204 of the Saints Score podcast, where we discuss everything going on at Southampton Football Club. Since our last episode, Southampton have played two matches in two different competitions, keeping two clean sheets and scoring five goals in what can only be described as an utterly professional performance where losing never really looked on the cards. Transfer deadline day also came and went, and any fluttering fears about Che Adams and Kyle Walker-Peters has never really came close to materialising, but there was just one key departure with Argentine midfielder Carlos Alcaraz moving to Serie A giants Juventus on loan. To discuss it all and preview the upcoming game against Huddersfield, my name is Harry Tizard. I'm joined by Ollie Bose and Jamie Allen this week, and I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks, mate. I've had a busy day, a busy week. I was in Jamie's neck of the woods yesterday. Which was good fun. I went to a TV screening. Oh no, already get the size. I went to a TV screening for the first time, which was cool. I've never been to one before, but it went on for like 4 hours, and you end up turning into like a clapping and laughing machine by the end because they have to redo jokes that the sound was wrong or someone was coughing in the background or something. So yeah, it was a little bit strange, and then of course it meant I didn't get to see Jamie either. So bittersweet.
I was lying in my room, Harry, lying in my room, waiting for a Mr. Oliver Boost to give me the call out to let me know, and I was let go.
Well, I have my phone off, because you have to turn your phone off in these things to make sure no notifications come through, and I wanted to turn my phone on, not to take a picture of the set, all the celebrities and stuff. I did want to text Jamie and just say, sorry, dude, it's overrunning, but I wasn't able to. I would have been chucked out the place, like, yeah, so... I couldn't turn my phone off and tell you. So as soon as I got out of the place, Jamie, I gave you a call, but it wasn't meant to be. And plus, I'll see you next week anyway.
Do you know what it was as well? For Bristol City? That really threw me off. I was playing seven aside that evening, and I was looking forward to seeing you, and it threw me off my game. I didn't score a single goal.
Oh.
And that's previously before that, I scored six. Put it in perspective, I scored six goals.
How many games?
I was in one game. That was Harry. I know, how impressive. Next week. Ollie stands me up. I know, it's impressive, right? Ollie stands me up, and then my head's gone. My head is rattled, so I didn't score a single goal.
Oh, I put you off your game. I can only apologise.
Yeah. Harry, you seem blown away.
I'm just shook, to be honest with you. I'm just shook that he scored six goals in one game.
Yeah, how crazy
very,
is that?
Very impressed. I want to join that league immediately to give myself an ego boost as well. But I guess apart from Ollie letting you down, how have you been?
Yeah, I've been alright, to be fair. Apart from that, good times.
Oh dear. Well, that's good then. Before we get into the Rotherham and Watford matches, we've got to talk about transfer deadline day. Last episode, I ignored the possibility of big departures. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just looking at David Brooks, which we broke on the podcast. But Carlos Alcaraz has gone out of the door, Ollie. What do you feel about that?
I like how you said broke on the podcast, like we got an exclusive. Like it wasn't us that broke the news. But yeah, it came through live as we were podding.
Probably the first podcast to talk about, to be fair.
Maybe.
In all fairness.
Yeah. Well, it depends how quickly Harry turned around the editing. I'm not sure. But probably.
Speedily.
Yeah, speedily. Yeah, of course. Like all the time. But yeah, what did I think about the departure? I think it was one where his head would obviously be turned. I think a young lad like that, an opportunity to go and work with the Juventus setup, it probably, you know, it was an attractive offer for him. And I think a big team like that has a pull that we can't really fight. I think we probably did as well as we could in terms of like the actual negotiations for it, because I believe we got a bit of a fee for it. But yeah, once the player has his kind of eyes set on that move, I don't really think we have too much kind of bargaining power really. So it is a little bit disappointing. I think a lot of fans wanted to see Alcaraz have more involvement in the second half of the season because he didn't really nail down that place. He was a lot of substitute appearances. So it is a little bit disappointing. But then the opportunities that he did get in the cup games, it felt like you could tell he was desperate to prove a point. I think a lot of his passes were trying to split between the lines, be that kind of perfect Hollywood ball, and he was just kind of overplaying a little bit. So if he has an opportunity to go away and prove himself, hopefully it could be really positive for him. But Yeah, I think sadly, once you saw the big names of Juventus, we didn't really have an option. I think he was probably heading off.
Yeah, Jamie, where do you sit on the move? Because it's almost split the fan base. I think a lot of people like the idea that someone that's not really playing can get into a top division in Italy. Look, they're not going to buy him at the end of the season. There's not the money in Italy to spend 40 million euros. So he's going to get regular football. Some people don't like the fact that he's gone because we've missed that maverick in the squad, that sort of midfielder that can just pull something out of nothing. Although Rothwell was very good against Watford, I think he could recreate, you know, sort of that quality. Where do you sit on the move?
I think it's a shame. I think, like you said, Harry, realistically, they're not going to buy him at the end of the loan. So it kind of feels like we've given away a player in the midst of a promotion slash possible title charge for next to nothing, like, what, 3 million euros. If, in the grand scheme of things, that's not that much to a club like Southampton. We'll get that in parachute payments. Do you know? It's like, and I think that's why it split the fan base. I think, yes, it's a great move for Charlie. I don't blame him whatsoever. I think, yeah, I think if you play in the Championship, then all of a sudden the old lady come knocking. You're not going to say no. So it's I think, yeah, for a player, great move. I don't have any hatred towards him. However, from a financial point of view and a realistic view on it, it's very silly for the club, in my opinion, to loan him and not make a permanent transfer.
Ollie, do you feel like we'll miss his presence in the squad? Or do you think that getting Rothwell in before Carlos Alcaraz leaving, A, meant that, you know, we bolstered our squad before getting rid of anyone, but we already have that sort of replacement that can fill his boots in the squad?
Yeah, I think on reflection, it looked like we kind of knew this was going to happen. Maybe there was whisperings before it broke officially, but a lot of questions were kind of asked, do we need another midfield and why are we getting this person in? And then Alcaraz goes and we go, oh, actually, that's a really good replacement. Ah, there's logic to this. So I think it was kind of planned in advance. They kind of realized that there is an option that Alcaraz may be heading out on loan. So they got someone in. But yeah, I haven't seen too much of Rothwell to kind of make a decision up. But yeah, what Alcaraz brought was that kind of unexpected quality at times. I mean, the thinking that I have is that goal where he's just curled at top corner when we needed a moment of brilliance. And that's what we provided. And that's what the fans love to see as well. So it is a little bit disappointing that we've kind of lost our like young, exciting star boy. But yeah, I guess we'll see what Rothwell's like in his replacement.
Other moves out the door, Mason Holgate, his loan was terminated and he went to Sheffield United on loan. And I think someone mentioned that he's lost both of his debuts this season 5-0, which is certainly difficult for him. Jamie, what did you think of the move? Are you surprised that it didn't really work out at Saints? And are you almost glad that we've got his wages off the book and we can move past it?
I think for all parties, they're a bit surprised he didn't start more. I think no one was really expecting Bednarek to, I don't know, sort his head out in a way and become the centre-back we all knew he was. Because I think Mason Holgate probably thought when he first saw the loan move come up, oh, brilliant, a relegated Championship side, easy 42 games there, starting in all of them. But then Howard Bellis and Bednarek have really formed an amazing partnership. And especially with the whole, you can't have, what, 6 loanies in a matchday squad. It's kind of perfect move, really, just to nudge him out and not really pay too much attention to it. But I think it's a shame. I think obviously didn't have the brightest starts with us and never really kicked on. Just had that cool attempt in the FA Cup against Watford. Obviously, that's kind of, I don't know, you could really have a scrape of the barrel here for Holgate moments. But yeah, I like the number 6 shirt, Holgate. Aesthetically, it looks quite nice, you know, as far as I could say.
That's your takeaway from Mason Holgate, that he wore the number 6 shirt. No, fair enough. I mean, he did have that one quite good game against West Brom as well. But as Jamie sort of mentioned there, Ollie, do you think because of how good our form has been, there just hasn't been any space? You look at the centre-back department, there's not really been any injuries for him to get in because even though Stevens was out for a long time, Howard Bellis and Bednarek have had a clean bill of health. And we already now have that cover at right back because it looks like Charles can play there as well. So we're just well stocked in a well formed team. It just didn't work out.
Oh yeah, totally agree. I mean, Jack Stevens has kind of struggled to get minutes past his injury, like you mentioned, and he started off the season as club captain. So it kind of really proves the strength that we have, and the fact that we can kind of be a little bit ruthless. We've got a lot of players that are performing well, and we can kind of say look, if you're not up to the expectations that we predicted, then unfortunately this isn't going to work out and we're going to get someone else in because we understand that we're an attractive prospect right now.
Other exits, Ryan Finnegan moved to Blackpool and Derek Abu moved to Harrogate Town. And one thing that probably might have disappointed Saints fans, Thierry Small's time at Southampton is over. It looked like he'd be quite a promising move a few years ago when he moved from Everton to the Saints. I think he was their youngest ever player at the age of 16, but never really kicked on, and hopefully he can re-find his career at Charlton. Now, on to the action on the pitch. Rotherham versus Southampton. It had the possibility to be a banana skin, especially after drawing 1-1 at St Mary's, but it was a easy performance by Southampton. 2-0 win, Bednarek and Adam Armstrong in the goals. Ollie, what did you make of the performance?
It was kind of wrapped up by half-time, really. The one thing that I was mainly worried about was the pitch. The pitch looks shocking. It looks really bad. And I was looking at it, and I was like, I'm so glad we got our goals early before the pitch tore up, because near the end, it looked genuinely difficult to play our style. The fact that we were trying to play around the back, some of the pitch in the corner was like wild. It was crazy. And I think that may be what Rotherham want to play. They want to play in the air. They don't want to play on the floor. So they'll have the grass nice and long. But yeah, from what I saw it, we got our goals in early. And then second half was really just containing, just holding the ball. We did have some chances, I think, but it was mainly kind of a professional see out of the game. Rotherham kind of chucked on the tallest and the strongest players. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Sam Nombe. He was like, his shoulders were as wide as he was tall. It was crazy. Like, it was like massive players that they were bringing on to try and create some problems. But we just kind of did that thing where we soaked up the pressure and didn't really lose our cool and came away with a win. I was pretty pleased with a professional performance.
And Jamie, do you think that we've got rid of this away day hoodoo that we could only really score one away from home? And there's a lot of draws. Two goals in the first half. It already puts it beyond a Rotherham side that haven't been very good this season. It's always going to be difficult for them with a very small budget against a team that's just come down from the Premier League.
I mean, the last time we scored one away was Norwich on the New Year's Day. So it's not too bad for the South Coast side, Southampton FC. But yeah, it's quite nice to think. I think the players probably had that in their heads as well, because we had so many 1-0 away days. I was at Millwall, I was at then a similar 1-1 with the Watford league game. It was a nightmare. Couldn't score more than one. However, I think that the confidence in the side is blossoming, as it's seen in the 24 games we're now unbeaten, which is also such an amazing thing to say. 24 games unbeaten. I think, unfortunately, probably come to an end when we play Liverpool later this month. However, yeah, that doesn't matter. That's a future problem. But it's nice to see that the players, I think, have got that past their heads. And maybe, actually, with this confidence, we could score maybe one or two more at Anfield away. If we bring our inner Shane Long, maybe bring back Josh Sims for that assist. I don't know what he's up to now, but that's the plan. You heard it here first.
Yeah, possibly. It's weird to think 24 unbeaten. It might be the longest in our lifetime. But hopefully we'll get to 26, 27. We don't want to count our chickens just yet. But yeah, a record-breaking run. Utterly ridiculous. But let's move back to the Rotherham game. Adozie's back on the bench. We saw Brooks as well, but we'll talk about them a bit later in the podcast. And just 4 minutes in, we found the opener. Bednarek's header on his 200th appearance for the club, Ollie. Did you ever feel that he was going to get to this stage? Look at last season when we loaned him out to Aston Villa. It sort of felt that it was the end of the road. He was saying that he's moved to a bigger club. Then his loan gets cut short and some fans weren't too sure about whether they wanted him back. But he's almost become just a figurehead at Southampton. Every time that there's interviews going on, he's going, no, this still isn't good enough. We're 24 unbeaten. It's not good enough. We keep wanting to push it further and further because our end goal is to get promoted. So what do you make of him overall as a Saints player in his 200th appearance?
I think he's got a mentality that is so strong. Whenever I see him on the pitch, he actually makes me laugh from the amount of times that he looks angry when we're like 4-0 up. When it was the games around like Christmas and New Year's, I think we got a 4-0 and a 5-0 back to back. And he was still adamant at like 5-0. He was like, he was pointing at people, shouting at people, like keeping the, you know, they're not dropping down, not coming complacent. He wants to go again. And yeah, like you said, there's a kind of behind the scenes in the training ground thing. And I think one of the poor reporters who's got to go in there and try and get something out of the players, he was kind of like, oh, you know, what's your favorite memory of the season? And he was like, oh, don't worry about that. Just let's focus on getting promoted. And I like that. I like having that energy in the squad, because that means players are going to want to match it. And he's kind of just speaking it into existence. He's like, we are going to get promoted. We need to keep pushing the levels up, which is great to have in the side, because it can be easy to be complacent when you're winning games quite heavily. But he's that person that keeps on their back and makes sure we continue to up our level.
Jamie, I don't want to look back at a disappointing season too much, but do you feel we almost missed that at parts last season, even though he did come back from his loan spell, that we have people that are keeping the standards high? Look, there were plenty of reports of maybe from The Athletic of people coming in late last season, the attitude wasn't always completely right. Whereas this season, we've got plenty of senior figures in the squad that have confidence. You've got a manager that's not going to take anybody messing around. He's got a system. He's got a dressing room that he fully believes in. So this season, it should be completely different, and it certainly looks that way as well.
Well, yeah, I think everyone was aware that we're completely lacking leaders in the squad last year. Obviously, I think we're all big fans of James Ward-Prowse in this podcast. However, he's not too much of a vocal leader, in my opinion. Obviously, he loved the club and would do anything for the shirt. However, I think he was not, he's not the Bednarek sort of captain, that's for sure. But we're loving to see now. And I think other players now have been relegated are stepping up, like the likes of Walker Peters, who's being a bit more vocal now. And it's just nice to see these figureheads in the squad compared to last year, where obviously we took that risk of investing in young, exciting players, which unfortunately didn't work out. And you can tell these players then have gone on doing better at other clubs. It's just, they were good signings, however, bringing in everyone and then bringing in young and selling our old just did not work out for us. And it shows clearly, like day and night, the differences between having older people in the dressing room compared to young. Even I know it's obviously the Championship and things are a bit, the difficulty isn't as high. It just shows great, great difference, the fact that what happens when you have experienced players, I mean, you have 20-year-olds.
Very true. Well, the dominance continued after Hugo lifted a shot over the bar. Fraser went so close, he hit the inside of the left post. Che Adams did really well to create a chance for Stuart Armstrong, but his shot was saved before a delightful second goal. Taylor Harwood-Bellis lofts the ball over the Rotherham defence. Fraser moves from left to right to get onto it, flicks it back to Adam Armstrong, who's completely free. And if there's anyone in the Championship you don't want to leave free in the middle of the box with plenty of time to shoot, it's Adam Armstrong. Ollie, what did you make of that goal? But do you think that attack is our best attack in terms of Stuart Armstrong as our most forward-thinking midfielder, Che Adams through the middle, Fraser on the left, and Adam Armstrong on the right? So what do you think of that, the goal, but also the attacking four, really?
Yeah, first of all, the play was the Harwood-Bellis like signature, which was just dink it over the top, runner, really clever play. And Fraser looked dangerous all half. He looked like he was going to get in the back of that defence. Looked so slow in comparison to him. And it was a lovely little touch just to take the defender out of the game. And put it in the back of the net. So first of all, it was a brilliant attacking move, just showing quality, composure, and also just that confidence as well. So it was a lovely second goal, and it really kind of showed the difference between the two teams. And yeah, like you said, it looks like we've kind of got this winning formula now. I think Armstrong does look really good in that role. He looks the best that we've seen him for a long, long time. And I think Che Adams is really suited for Championship physicality. I think he's by far the best player that we have for putting his back to defenders and laying it off. And we know that Adam Armstrong is very versatile. We've seen him in midfield like earlier this season. So we know he can play a lot of positions, and it doesn't seem to be sacrificing his goal contributions either coming off the right. So I think it doesn't look like we're at the start of the season, it may have looked like we're trying to shoehorn a lot of players in because of their quality. Whereas now they look like they're just working harmoniously.
Now, you mentioned Adam Armstrong, though. I'm going to stick with you because you mentioned his ability to come off the right. And even though he's a striker and he wants to play that number nine position, and now we've got Brooks on the right, so it might be quite difficult, although it's a positive problem to have. Do you think that could be the way forward for Adam Armstrong? 26 goal contributions this season. If he hugs the touchline and then sort of drives inside off the ball with those sorts of runs, he can almost come in without anybody noticing, because the fullback can't stick with him next to the touchline because they've got to stay narrow. Whereas if you're down the middle, you've got a centre-back that's always just going to be watching you all the time. He can always almost come in invisible and then make a move, and then he's in a really good position.
Definitely. And I think who he's playing with as well, Che Adams has always been a kind of secondary player, which sounds bad, but I think when we saw some of his best performances, it was with someone like Danny Ings. He would hold up the ball, drag the defender in, create space around the back for, at the time, Danny Ings, quick, pacey striker to get in and finish. And now we're seeing the exact same thing for Adam Armstrong as well. And it's interesting because we used to play with a solid two up front. And like you said, Armstrong would be more central. But it's interesting that, yeah, coming off that right, he's still finding those pockets of spaces and those positions. And I think it's just a different run. It's that diagonal run cutting inside that he made, which was opened up by Fraser's backheel, like, roll. so, yeah, that's it's a different way that he's attacking the space. But at the end of the day, he's still a striker, and he knows when he needs to arrive into the box and where he needs to be. So his kind of final position is not probably too dissimilar. It's just where he's making that run from and getting into that space. So, hey, it's working, and he's getting a lot of success from it. So I think if it was him, he'd probably be thinking, look, I'm getting the goals that I want. I'm happy to keep on doing this.
I'll sort of ask you the same question I asked Ollie before, Jamie. Is this your favourite front three of Fraser on the left, Adams through the middle, and Armstrong on the right? Even though we've got the likes of Adosie, Sulemana and Brooks all vying for positions. And look, it's fantastic to have that quality. Would you say this is our best front three?
It's a tough one, because I still really like having the assets of Ryan Fraser off the bench, because I think he can really just give it his all. Because I think when he's starting a game, obviously you want to convert, save his energy and try and stay on for the whole 90. But I think when you have him coming off the bench and literally just gives his all for everything for me the last 25 minutes of a game, I think that's a greater asset. I'd rather be starting Sulemana or Samuel Adosie, because I think they can be a bit more effective throughout the game rather than that last minute cameo, which I would argue Ryan Fraser is probably the best in the squad at. Like, coming off the bench and having those assists and goals is unbelievable, especially in the Championship. But I'd say best front three probably would just be swapping Fraser for Sulemana, and I'd be very happy with that.
Well, the rest of the half, there wasn't too much that went on. I mean, Smallbone should have got Saints' third, if not for a fantastic save from Johansson, their goalkeeper. And then we only had four shots in the second half. Not a lot happened there either. Brooks, he came on for his cameo, his debut, showed a couple of really nice touches as well. But when you look at our attack and you look at the chances that we're creating, only look, six shots in the first half, four in the second, it's not loads, but do you feel that we're making much better quality chances than we had done maybe earlier in the season? That, you know, you look at Che Adams dropping deeper and allowing the wingers and even Stuart Armstrong to run past him for the smart little flicks. Do you feel that we're getting that fluidity as part of our attacking unit, which is allowing us to find space in their defensive third? So even if we're coming up against lower blocks and teams that are more difficult to break down, we are always eventually finding that space to create a really good chance.
Yes. Next question. No. I agree. I think the pressure that we put onto teams is through the quality of our chances. I think like you said so beautifully, the way that we kind of maneuver the team, we get it into spaces, it feels very well practiced. I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, kind of defensive solidity, where you're very planned. I think we saw a lot in the Premier League where we would have a game plan which would be mainly defensive, and then when we were attacking, it was fairly counter-attack, move the ball as quickly as possible on a counter-press or catch the opposition off guard. Now, we are the ones that have to make the decisions. We have to have patterns of play. We have to have third-person runners. We have to have all these different ways of creating chances, and we saw ways where we had a lot of possession, weren't really doing much with it at the start of the season. And I think we've kind of honed it. We know what players that we have in the squad. We can play to their strengths, and we're creating good quality chances. I think the players that we're seeing in the team, as fans and as the manager, I think it's unanimous. We can see which, you know, what players bring. Fraser, quick, good pass. Che Adams holds the ball. Adam Armstrong runs in behind. Stuart Armstrong, great ball progression. Smallbone, great at arriving at the box. And you can, if you know what team you're going to play, you can start to create, you know, like plans with these players and work to their strengths. So I think it comes from the quality of players that we have. I think it comes from good preparation, planning and practice, and confidence as well. I mean, it really does help. Everything goes nice and easy. No one's tired. Everyone wants to play when you've, got 20, how many? 23, 24. What is it now? I'm losing count.
24 unbeaten.
24.
Too many games.
Yeah.
Too many games. And another positive of us winning that game, Ipswich lost 3-2 to Preston. So we're in second place. So we're now going to have to defend that position rather than chase it down, which is almost going to be even more nerve-wracking. Right, moving on to the FA Cup, a game that Saints and Watford didn't really want after their 1-1 replay. But the Saints fans that were at St Mary's would have certainly enjoyed that second half performance. 3 goals, 2 from Sekou Mara, and 1 for Che Adams as well. Jamie, 7 changes, plenty of things to talk about. What did you make of the match?
This is quite a weird phrase to say. Sekou Mara scored 2 goals. Yeah, you don't hear that too often.
Two brilliant goals at that as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll go into that later. But yeah, amazing finishes from him there. But yeah, I think it's very good to see the changes again. I know I mentioned last time there's maybe a bit too many changes. However, I think 7's a good amount. Going bring back in Jack Stevens to the fold, Joe Lumley. It's nice to see him keep his cup position. However, I'm not too sure to keep him there when we play Liverpool. But that's just my opinion. Then seeing Shay Charles slotting at right back was very interesting, as you mentioned briefly at the start of the podcast, Harry. Because I didn't think he did too badly. Now Holgate is gone, it's good to see that he can fill in that role. And I think, yeah, and the one person I'd like to bring out, yeah, is Rothwell, who had an unbelievable game and had a really good assist to Che Adams for the third. I was really happy to see him finally more settled into the team. I think especially in those first 2 or 3 games, it was, well, first 1 or 2, I should say. You can tell he wasn't perfectly fitted into the system, but I think now we can see why he brought him in and why he fits in, why he played so well in the Championship for many years before.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of those driving runs forward in the first half, and a defender absolutely took him out. I was worried that he wouldn't be able to continue. And even for the first goal it was, when he drove inside from the left, played it to Che Adams, he flicked it around the corner for Mara's first. It was really good. But Ollie, what did you think of the game overall? Did it almost look like a second chance for some of those players that didn't do anything at Vicarage Road and had to be saved maybe by the substitutes that came on? Because the likes of Rothwell, the likes of Mara, that maybe disappointed a bit, were really the key players that got us over the line.
Yeah, definitely. I think there were some players who it felt it was a little bit early for, or it wasn't quite right. It just didn't really go right on the day. But what I found interesting was that Martin did kind of stick with the majority of players that he did rotate with, and it was an identical second chance, but you had the fans with you. So if you did something right, if you kind of wanted to make your impression, you've got a lot more of your fans there watching. You can kind of make it is a spectacle the right word? I'm not sure, but yeah. Like, you think of some of the young lads, the difference with having a game away from home in a possibly tough fixture, now you're kind of got nothing to lose. The opposition potentially made changes as well. Now you can make your mark in front of, I was going to say 30,000, and I'm not sure if 30,000 are at the stadium, but you know, majority Saints fans, you can make something happen and have all the Saints fans watch you and make your mark on the team. So I think there were some players that, yeah, they did really, they had a point to prove and they came out and they made it.
I mean, it was a bit of a drab first half. Watford trying to play the ball out of the back, couldn't really do much with it. I mean, they hit the top of the crossbar with Kone's deflected strike, but apart from that, it was mostly Saints. Although we didn't create many really good opportunities as well. Dibbling, he looked sharp. couple of balls across the box. There was no one there for it. And Che Adams, he certainly should have scored after Sekumara set him up, but his effort was saved by the foot of Backman. But the second half, that's when it really seemed to come alive. I think Martin said in his press conference that he wasn't too happy or word to that effect, at least. And we looked like a different side in the second half, Jamie. And we'll go to that first goal. Sekumara, delightful finish from Che Adams, flicking it round the corner. That really sort of got the game going, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that ball from Che Adams was absolutely gorgeous. You see, it's like one of those, you said, the slight tap on the ball to flick it around the defender. And then Sekumara, in all fairness, everyone knows he's a decent finisher, just doesn't always take his chances. Absolutely smacked at home past Daniel Backman. But yeah, I was very happy to see the 1-0 coming, because I was a bit worried when it's the 0-0 at half time. But also, it wasn't like I was going to lose. It's just more of, you know, a certain centre back captain for Watford. I don't want him to have the pride of beating us at St Mary's. But yeah, I was very happy with that goal. And as I said, I just absolutely amazed by that flick from Che Adams.
Yeah, that's sort of what he brings to the table. I think a lot of people, when he missed that opportunity in the first half, said, well, it shows that it's February, now he's not scoring the goals. Well, he got two assists and a goal in the end. And he's also never been a clinical finisher, so it's always been a bit of a weird stick to beat him with, really. But let's talk about that second goal. Dibbling wins possession back next to his own corner flag. A really nice bit of play, passing it round. He drives through the middle of the pitch, plays it to Adams. Sekumara outside the box. People are thinking, why are you shooting from there? Why are you going towards the near post? And then he crashes it in. Ollie, talk to me about that goal, and also discuss Tyler Dibbling, because it really feels that could be a turning point for him. He found it difficult in the Watford away game. I think, like you previously said, it's so much easier in a home game because you've got the fans on your side. But he showed his quality in that moment.
Yeah, he did. He showed why the manager trusted him to play him again. I think that's the important thing. He took up a very strange position to win the ball back in the first place, which I thought was interesting. But he's carried the ball such a length, which, and then to have the quality to find a pass at the end when he's been checked once, almost fouled, and they've been crashed into, still nicks the ball off to the next player. And then the Mara finish is incredible. You couldn't really ask for much more. And I was kind of, when I saw it, I was like, whoa, okay, where has this been, kind of thing. It's a absolute, I don't know how to put it nicely. He's just lashed at it and it's hit the back of the net. It's a beautiful strike. And that obviously, when I saw it, I thought, this must be the reason we signed Mara. There must have been things he was doing when he was playing away and you could go, that's a special strike of the ball. That's pure quality right there. You couldn't hit it much sweeter. And I think he is just a bit of a rough diamond at the moment. There is something there. There is a real player in there, but it's just too inconsistent at the moment for him to be a first team player for us. But I think it's going to be a slow progress, kind of slow burner. And I think either it's going to be one of those ones where we're frustrated, we don't see it all the time, or it will just happen and then he will just go very quickly. So it will go either way, but it's definitely positive to see the improvement that he's getting. And I think that just comes from the Championship football possibly dropping down a bit. I think the Premier League was a bit too much of an ask for him, but he's got chances now in the Championship and he's really proven it with a strike like that.
I mean, Jamie, it looks like Sekumara is proving a point every time that he comes on the pitch at the moment. At the start of the season, he was finding things quite difficult. He wasn't really having that impact. And although he's only scored 4 or 5 goals this season, it feels like he's a player that's playing with confidence. Every time that he's on the pitch, he seems to get a goal or an assist, or at least has a really, you know, nice touches of the ball. In this game, of course, in the first half, he wasn't as effective. But that second strike really shows you that he must have confidence at the moment, because otherwise you don't just A, take a shot, B, go for the near post rather than the far post, and B, hit it with such power, such precision. Do you think this could be a turning point for Sekumara, that even though he's going to find it difficult to get into that front three because Che Adams is up front and they are a different profile of striker, and if Adams is injured, then you've got Adam Armstrong that go through the middle and a different player out wide. He's making it difficult for people to ignore him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's very interesting to see how he has the confidence when he must be like performing like outrageously in training or something to bring that out into the game. But yeah, I think it's a tough one with him because, like we said, he just loves a cup competition. But when it comes to the league, he seems to be afraid of scoring. Like you see, like what against Man City last year, a really good goal, and was it the EFL Cup? And now in the FA Cup, he just loves the competitions. But hopefully we will be able to see the transition into the Championship. But like I said earlier, when I was talking about our front three, he possibly could slot into that left side of it, which he did in this Watford game. But it's just such a shame for him at the moment that we have such strong players ahead of him in the pecking order. Yeah, he might have this confidence to score occasionally. However, we need to know for a fact the people we're starting in our Championship games that we'll be able to score definitely compared to Saka, who's a bit off and on. Because like you said, Harry, we're now trying to hold this second spot. Yes, we have a game in hand ahead of Leeds. However, we need to be playing players who will for certain get us the points and not take risks.
Yeah, it seems like he does love a goal at St Mary's as well. Scoring in the cup against Warsaw, scoring twice in the cup against Watford, also in the league, I think, against Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn as well. Do you think that it's the manager, Ollie, that's giving him this level of confidence? Because it seems that every substitute is making some sort of level of impact. I know that he started in this one, but if you're out on the sidelines for so long and then you get put in, you could look a bit rusty. And maybe he was for the first 45 minutes, but he sort of showed that, you know, I'm ready at any opportunity, as did Fraser for such a long time when he was on the bench for a very long period. Then he gets thrust into the first team after playing so well, and it's going to be difficult to take him out.
I think it's just excellent man management. I'd be really interested to see what he's said to the players behind the scenes, because I think he must have promised them that you will have a chance, your time will come in the amount of games that we have. I think the fact that we've taken on a manager that has been in the Championship, he knows how many games there is and how many opportunities there is to provide. I think he kind of has that assurance when he does tell players you will have a chance, he does truly believe it because of the amount of games that we have. But I also think the fact that he played Mara, I can't remember which game it was, but he played up front. And I don't know whether it was his best game, but he basically said he trained really well. He looked fantastic in training, so he played. I can't remember. Was that
Mara? I think it was the Sunderland game, which maybe isn't the best reflection, but it does show that he trains well. So
exactly. Yeah. Well, there you go. But I think that confidence as a manager to say, look, this player has been outstanding in training. He deserves a chance to play. At that point, it wasn't the right game. It was really not the right game, as we could prove. And it maybe maybe it was a little bit of a setback in his confidence considering the result. But what it does prove is it proves to other players, if I have a fantastic training session, if I look really good, the manager may consider me. And I think that stays in the back of the players' minds and they think, okay, I like his style of management and I want to play for this person.
Of course, Adams got his goal from the Rothwell cross, which was really created by Adozie coming off the bench and making an impact. I mean, he hit the inside of the post on his return, so he really should have scored. But Jamie, in a crunch part of the season like this, getting people back to fitness, getting them on the pitch, getting Brooks through the door, having Adozie return from fitness, seeing Sulemana close as well, Bree is almost back on the pitch in terms of training as well. This is the perfect time to get people back in. Adozie, the first one, it doesn't look like he's been injured for a month because he comes straight on, wins a few free kicks and gets clattered by Sirota, really, but gets straight back up and wants to get involved.
I just think all the players in the squad just love playing for Russell Martin and everyone wants to do their best for him. I think compared to the likes of Jones and Sellers, no one really cared too much for them and no one really wanted to try their all. Whereas now, you have a manager who will give the rule, reward you for playing well for him and will not care what the critics say. He will start, like I mentioned, the Saka Mara, perfect example, where the players can respect him and then he respects them back. And it's just nice to see compared to the toxic behaviours we've been having in the last year or so. So yeah, the players love the manager. It's beautiful.
another player's Magoma, utterly solid at left back. I mean, you talked about Charles, and did he play well? Did he not? Well, he was part of a clean sheet. So as a defender, that's all I want to see. If you're part of a clean sheet, you're going to get at least extra time and penalties. And if you're in a league game, you're going to get a point on the board. Cameron Bragg came on as well to make a bit of an impression as well. And the win, is it a reward? Getting to Anfield, 5,500 away fans will be able to go. Ollie, I think we'll talk about this more in a future podcast. So it only has to be a short summary of your thoughts. But Liverpool away, maybe I'd prefer a lower down team like Luton or new, an out-of-form Newcastle side. But why not test yourself in Jurgen Klopp's final season in England?
Yeah, it's a tough ask, isn't it? And I think what most fans are looking at, we know for a fact that Liverpool could probably play their second team and they'd still be a Premier League quality side. I mean, looking at some of the depth that they have there, they're still going to be of good quality. Klopp's going to have them up for the game because this quadruple is still on. So it's not going to be an easy challenge. But what it provides is an opportunity, because I think a lot of fans are wondering, is this a kind of sustainable style, this possession style that we switch to? Is this something that we could genuinely play against Premier League oppositions? And you might look at it and think the three teams at the bottom of the bottom of the league in the Premier League and the top three in the Championship, I think personally they're probably of similar quality, because I think this year the teams that did get promoted haven't really put up the points. I think they have been quite poor in terms of their performance, and I think it's probably one of the strongest Championships. It feels biased that we're saying this because we're up there, but I do genuinely think the amount of points that the top three put up at the moment is one of the strongest Championship ones as well. So I think it's almost like a dress rehearsal. It's like, what would it be like if we got promoted and we had Liverpool first game of the season? What would it look like? I mean, we might have had some people that come in, but I think the majority of the team that if we started first game of the Premier League, we would activate the clause in Harwood Bellis's contract. I think we would have a really strong case to try and negotiate for someone like Downs. I think Adam Armstrong and Che Adams, maybe not Che Adams, but, you know, Adam Armstrong would be starting. So I think the same core of the team would be very much the same. So, yeah, I feel like it's a dress rehearsal to kind of pretend that it's first game of the season next year. How would it look like? Can we play out the back against a very good Premier League side known for their pressing?
I think that's a very fair point about the Championship. I just checked in the top four teams all average over 2 points a game, which is a ridiculous level to compete at and to stay at. And I think all those questions that you asked or raised, I should say, will be certainly answered in future in podcasts and hopefully in our pre-season prediction next season if we're in the Premier League. Russell Martin will certainly come under fire by different pundits, probably from TalkSport or the BBC or Sky, the same way Vincent Kompany has, rightly or wrongly. Now, let's talk about the next game in the Championship. Huddersfield Town, they had three straight 1-0 draws before a 4-0 thumping against Sheffield Wednesday. What a win that was for them. They're 3 points above QPR, who occupy the relegation position of 22nd, and they've got 13 points from their 15 away games, with their last win coming away at Sunderland on November the 29th. So they've done something that we weren't able to do, weren't even close to doing this season. Jamie, coming into this game at home, what are your thoughts?
I'm just glad we're not playing them away, because I think going against a side that's just on red-hot form, well, not red-hot, only the first win in, what, 6 or 7 games. But
medium heat.
Yeah, medium, there you go. Nando's menu, medium heat, Huddersfield Town. It's, yeah, after a 4-0 win, it's not the best place to go back into their back garden, but I think that's the advantage, where St Mary's is a bit like, is a fortress this season in the Championships. I think I'm very glad we're playing them at home. But I don't know. I think it's obviously, we've seen this before. Like you said, we mentioned how they're only a few points above QPR, who, yes, they're in relegation zone, and then 22nd, 21st in the Championship. However, we've learned a lesson not to underestimate our opponent where they are in the league, because we're only just scraped by against QPR. And Huddersfield have a decent side around them. But as you can tell, it was a 4-0 victory, but we should not underestimate them at all just because they're that low.
I mean, yeah, on paper, this is one of the easiest games for us this season, Ollie. I think, what, 8 or 9 straight home wins. I think Alfie House tweeted that on aggregate in our last 6, we're winning 22-1 in terms of goals and goals against. So it's almost the same question I asked Jamie last week, but is it just about avoiding complacency, that if we go 1-0 up, we have to keep going until 3-0 just to put the game to bed? I don't want to almost put this into the future that we will win, but you'd imagine that we should.
Yes, you would. And I think that's the only thing we can really say. And I think we've proved that complacency hasn't come in so far on this run. There has been chances. Like, I think the Rotherham one was a prime example. It kind of looks like it could be a slip up because it's so easy, but we went there, we did a job, we were professional, and the players that are in that side, they know what they need to do. They're not looking at it and thinking, oh, it's going to be a nice, easy kick around, let's start doing like keepy ups and overhead kicks. No, they're not going to do that. They are going to actually go there, get a result, and get the job done, really. So hopefully we finish it early. It's not too nervy, but I think the fans will be patient as well. I think it's probably at an all-time high, the morale in the stadium. I think there's not going to be any worries if we get into half-time and it's 0-0, because we probably know that the opposition are coming to defend, and we're probably confident in the fact that we can make changes and the quality will eventually kind of arise and we'll get the results. So I'm really not that worried, which I don't want to be like quoted on and then get it put back in my face and go, ha, you were wrong. But I think it's a very good opportunity. And I think, yeah, if we want to get promoted, we have to use the form that we're on to beat these positions, because I don't think we'll get a much nicer fixture for the rest of the season.
Now, 3-0 thumping against Watford, where we made 7 changes. Jamie, would your team for this match look similar to that, or would you have it look similar to the Rotherham game, our usual championship team, the same back four, the same midfield, the same attack? Is there anyone that really impressed you against Watford where you might want to slip them in, or do you just keep with the same team that have done so well in the championship that you're just happy and just go, yeah, you boys, the same 11, and hopefully the guys off the bench can remain professional as they have done all season and can make an impact if they're required?
I think if I was to change anything, possibly along the front line, but I would, no doubt in my mind, I would not change the back four, goalkeeper and midfield. I think that's so key to us. I think it's just that it always has been for us this season, is that left or right wing is the problem. Not probably a good problem of who starts. I think it depends on how Martin will favour Sakumara after his very nice performance. So I think if there's going to be any changes, it could possibly be a start for him. But apart from that, like you said, I would not risk it. Go for the same starting 11 against Rotherham and just favour the boys who have been smashing it in the league for us.
Right, my favourite time of the podcast is score prediction time. Huddersfield Town versus Southampton. Ollie, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's going to be a 3-0. I'm confident. I think we'll get the job done and it will be a convincing victory.
Convincing victory. Jamie, do you think the same?
I'm going to go for a 2-0 win. But like I said beforehand, I'm not going to overestimate or underestimate our opponents, unlike Oliver.
That's weirdly unconvincing from you. I'm concerned. I know. Normally you'll say 3-0, 4-0. You just said a casual 2-0, but you know, I would take that as well. I'll go for a 3-1. I think we'll be 3 goals up, and then hopefully they don't get a consolation. I want another clean sheet. But yeah, I'll say 3-1. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week's episode of the podcast. We had a look at transfer deadline day, the outgoings of Carlos Alcaraz and Mason Holgate, with the former of the two splitting opinion. We then had a look at the comfortable win over Rotherham, the goal from Bednarek, his 200th appearance, and the look of the front line before the Watford win in the FA Cup, 3-0. The first half was a bit drab, but the second half was anything but. Sakumara just tapping Russell Martin on the shoulder again. I'm still here. I'm ready to start when required, before previewing the game against Huddersfield. Hopefully next week we will be previewing the big game against Bristol City away and West Bromwich Albion away. But before that, reviewing a big win against Huddersfield. My name's been Harry Tizard, and I've been joined by Ollie Boasts.
Thank you very much for listening.
Jamie Allen.
Thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, and we will see you next week.
You stole your line.
I tried to steal your line.